We have two scriptures today. The first comes from the prophet Isaiah in the first chapter, verses 16 through 18. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. And then the New Testament, the letter to Philippi, Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. May God add his blessing to this reading and our hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless what is said, what is heard, and what is understood, and may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name, amen. We need to talk. You knew you were in trouble if your parents ever said this to you, because you knew that a lecture was coming, and that it was a lecture that you probably weren't going to enjoy, and a lecture that you probably would have very little to say other than yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. And sometimes your boss may come out and say, we need to talk. And the first thing that you think of is, oh my gosh, what did I do now? And a lot of times when the boss says we need to talk, it's because there is something that he wants you to take a look at that has come up. And we all know, especially us that are husbands, if your spouse ever says to you, we need to talk, that you are in deep, deep trouble. Communication is very, very important. It is how we exchange information about things that are going on in our lives and other people's lives. How we exchange this information, it is how we communicate our hopes, our dreams, our joys, our concerns. It is how instructions are given at work, at home, and at school. And communication is always important if you have a need to vent. If you're upset about something going on, you just need to get it out. And it's also important so that we can communicate that we are hurting in some way. Now, good communication is always two ways. It's not one-sided. It's an exchange of ideas. It's listening. It's asking questions and getting answers to those questions. Listening some more. And in many cases, learning something new. So I have a question for you. How do you think in general that we are communicating in 2022? Very well. I don't think so. I don't think that we are communicating in general very well. Instead of having conversations, a lot of times it is simply pushing ideologies. Instead of listening, we want to take and shout out in order to drown out that other person. We don't ask questions. Instead, we tell the person how very, very, very wrong that they are about what they have said, and then we give them a litany of reasons why it is incorrect and why they are foolish to believe that. Part of the problem is that over time we learn to keep our mouths shut because nobody really cares about what we have to say. They only care about what idea that they are espousing. And when, after we learn to keep our mouths shut, we don't speak up when we need to. We don't speak up when we see wrong or we see evil. We don't speak up when we see situations happening that need to be taken care of. We don't speak up when we're hurting, when all that we really, really, really want to do is have someone simply listen to us. And after a while, this leads to something called the I am fine, I'm fine face. People say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just fine. The Lord has blessed me so much, and my life is just so, so good. And the reality is we're weeping inside, but we must put on a happy face because that is what is expected from us. I had a coworker once that simply said, the only right answer is to say that I'm fine. He didn't want to hear about problems. All he wanted was to be able to say that platitude, how are you, and get back, well, I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking. Today, social media is a part of our lives. Some, it is a greater part, some lesser part. And social media, in my viewpoint, it's both a good thing and it is a bad thing. It's good for me because I am able to keep in contact with the people that I care about. My high school classmates, people that I have worked with in various capacities, family, and other friends. And it is good to let people know when things are going on, both my joys and my concerns. However, if you make an offensive comment, something that someone doesn't agree with, it must be answered. And it must be answered with an insult. I remember one time I made a comment on Facebook and the reply back to me was, take and put a slice of bread on each side of your face and tell me what you see. Anybody know what this is? Say it. an stupid sandwich or an idiot. You're an idiot sandwich. Or other times the response back is, well, I see you've been drinking the Kool-Aid. Whether that be the Democratic Kool-Aid, the Republican Kool-Aid, or all the other different types of Kool-Aids that are out there. Let me just say that's an insult to Kool-Aid. Or, well, I see that you have been listening to a particular news network, or you have been listening to a certain talking head. And let's face it, my friends, we are a long, long way from Walter Cronkite. And those of you that know, all know. And I sometimes wish that Uncle Walt was still around, but that's another story for another time. And with all of this insulting and all of this put down, there's no asking of questions, there's no listening, and there's no learning something new. We have shut our minds to whatever it is that challenges us, challenges our beliefs, challenges what we know. And from all of this, we reap a crop of resentment, of stubbornness. I believe what I believe. And if you do not agree with me, you're wrong. We've become closed-minded. We don't want to have our beliefs challenged. We don't want to have the feeling that perhaps we were incorrect to some extent or another. And because of this, friendships get destroyed. Family members become estranged, and hard to believe, but it has seeped into the church, and churches become divided. Biblical doctrine is to be interpreted one way and only one way, and if you don't believe that, fine. Or if you don't believe that, well, we'll just go off and we'll make our own denomination. Methodist Church is seeing this right now. And let me just say that especially what is going on in some of our churches, that the devil is laughing his butt off. Because he's enjoying this. There's a strain in the church. There's chaos. And the devil absolutely loves it. Now, what in essence is a church? Well, a church, yes, it is a building, but church is the place that we come to because we are seeking God's truth. And the discussion of biblical concepts is how we learn and come to a deeper understanding. It is a place where we should be having two-way conversations, and I realize that some of you are probably thinking, well, you know, you get up there every week, Pastor Tim, and you have a one-way conversation, which is not true because I've had people come back and ask me questions. So again, if you've got questions, please don't hesitate. In our reading from Philippians today, obviously Paul had a great influence on a great number of churches, but he realized that he couldn't be there all of the time, that he would be off visiting other churches. So what Paul tells the church at Philippi and what he tells us today is that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be actively working on our walk with Jesus. And to me, that is looking, reading the Bible, praying, and discussing what we read in the Bible with other people. I was confused for a while about what does that mean with fear and trembling. And I think that fear and trembling refers to humility. Humility in discussing, in listening, in asking questions, in getting answers, and just maybe learning something new. At least learning another way, another thing that a particular passage takes and tells us. If we look at our country and we look at our world today, we see that this lack of communication has led to a broken country and a broken world. No one wants to learn, just want to push their viewpoint as being the correct one and to chastise anyone that does not believe exactly as they believe. There's no talking. There's just yelling and screaming to drown the other side out. Now, we as Christians, we're called to something different. We're called to model our lives, especially on Jesus, but also to take lessons from God the Father. If you go all the way back to Genesis 3, this is right after Adam and Eve had ate the apple, lost their innocence, and now know good from evil. And it says God was in the garden. And I believe that the actual presence of God was there in the garden. And Adam and Eve fled, and God says, "Where are you?" Now, God being God knew exactly where they were. But he wanted them to come out from where they were because he wanted to have a personal conversation with them. A face-to-face, if you will. God could have done it from heaven in that big booming God voice, but he didn't. He wanted to have that face-to-face. If you go to Moses, Moses was tending his father-in-law's Jethro's flock. And he comes across the burning bush and he goes over and investigates this. And God, I believe, was in that bush. He was there because he wanted to have a face-to-face with Moses. He wanted to have that personal conversation where he would say something, Moses would listen, ask some questions, get some answers, and learn something new. Our reading from Isaiah, I'm sorry, not from my, Yeah, from Isaiah. Comes at a time where Israel has once again strayed from God. And Isaiah is sent to set them straight. And I read this morning from the New Revised Standard Version, which says, "Come now and let us argue it out, says the Lord." And that's verse 18. However, I do like how the King James phrases this. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." God wants that personal conversation. He wants to have a two-way conversation. He just doesn't want to say, "Do this." He asks you to do something. Takes your questions, gives you answers, makes you understand what it is that he was wanting to say to you. Jesus, in his 3-year ministry, if you look at it, all of Jesus' ministry is going from conversation to conversation to conversation to conversation. He has a conversation with Nicodemus, who is intrigued by what Jesus is saying. And if you read John 3, you'll see that Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus, where Nicodemus listens to what Jesus says, asks questions. Jesus answered him. Nicodemus listened and he learned something new. What was Jesus' favorite way to teach? It was parables. Parables were simple ways to get his message across. Sometimes the disciples didn't understand, and they said, "Lord, what did you mean when you said this?" So they asked questions. Jesus answered their questions. The disciples listened, asked a couple more questions. Jesus answered, the disciples listened, and they learned something new. How do we Christians in Pulaski in 2022, how do we live out these examples that are given to us by God and by Jesus? Pastor Dale Gilbert, who is a United Methodist pastor now down in Abington, once shared 7 ways that illustrate, I think, how to communicate. And it comes in the form of, how about we change how we live? Number 1, I look for the good in you, you look for the good in me, and let's get along. Let's listen to understand, not listen to respond. I will admit that I don't have all of the answers. You admit that you don't have all the answers, and we work together. We set aside our pride. We be humble. We talk. We don't shout over each other. We talk. I speak my mind in a respectful manner. You speak your mind in a respectful manner. And we talk about where we disagree, and we come to an understanding. You don't have to agree with everything else that someone else believes. However, I think you do need to understand why they believe what they believe. Have some respect to it. And perhaps change the conversation to one that is better for exchanging of ideas. Imagine how much better the world would be if we actually did this. Number four, our disagreements are no excuse to hate each other. Oh my gosh, I know some people are having a little fit right now. Just because we have different viewpoints, we like different candidates, we are of different religions, is no excuse for hatred. And we see this all of the time, especially in our political institutions. Number five, we stop looking for differences. We start looking for commonality and build on that. Can you imagine what would happen if governments at all levels followed this? Instead of emphasizing the differences, say, all right, this is what we can agree on. Let's start with that and let's build off of that. Six, we treat each other the way we want to be treated. Everyone knows the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Notice that this does not say you get to treat other people the way that they treat you. You are to always treat other people the way that you want to be treated. Treated with respect. Treated with dignity. Treated like a human being. Lastly, we love each other the way Jesus loves us, unconditionally, totally, and deeply. My friends, is it really so hard to do this? Amen.